Welcome to the Dad's Night podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
Today, we're joined by USC legend and NFL quarterback Matt Barkley. We'll talk about going from modern-day high school to starting as a freshman at USC, hanging 50 points on UCLA, his NFL career, and balancing life with three young children. We'll also recap Tommy's epic Dad's Night party and Father's Day. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network. You were dancing. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling, you know. I think we should just get right into the three dubs.
Let's do
honestly.
It.
Yeah, so, Chris, where you going, what you doing, what you excited about is brought to you by Postal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at its scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Learn more and get a free trial at postal.io/dads. All right, Chris, what are you excited about? I mean, like,
there was a big weekend. It was two weekends, and we got to get into it because it was, I thought nothing could top last year's Dad's Night party, but you did it. Kudos to you.
I mean, isn't that a we? Isn't that a we did it?
Well, I was just there. I was just there to help out, but you did a great job. What was the head count this year?
We had 55 dads. And I mean, let's just go, I'll break it all down for
you. Let's break it down.
So a year planning, as everyone knows, I've been reaching out to brands and restaurants locally for a year, trying to collect
as much
free swag as possible. So I want to make it so like when dads leave Dad's Night, they're leaving like the Oscar gift thing, okay?
That's what it felt like.
So what did we deserve? Well, we deserve a step and repeat, which we had.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10 feet wide by 8 feet tall.
Beautiful.
And we had a red carpet this year.
Oh.
So naturally, when you have a red carpet, you got to have cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
So we had cornhole in the front yard.
Naturally, they go hand in
hand.
Yeah,
we had hand, you know. And then, look, we had the South Bay Brisket King. Randy Wilson make two of these Snake River Farms Wagyu briskets.
He brought his A-plus game.
So he brought his Texas barbecue.
Started prepping those on Thursday, I think, for Saturday night.
That's correct. And so basically everyone arrives at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
By 5:30, the brisket gets, you know, unveiled.
Brisket's gone. Queso's gone.
Queso's gone. You made a great smoked queso.
I smoked some
chorizo.
Queso this year.
It was unbelievable. Good. And so we had an open bar. We had beef and bourbon theme again. But this year we had a ugly Hawaiian theme shirt.
We did.
And
friend of the pod, Dad Stevenson.
Friend of the pod, great dad. He surprised me because I would say about at least 40 of the dads wore an ugly Hawaiian shirt with my face put all over it.
Which makes it beautiful,
actually. It was great. It was, you know, for those that are on social media, you can go to my Instagram and look at the picture. But it was great. So... then at 7:30, we do our raffle chug, where we basically give you this free item. So you're going to get a $100 gift certificate to a local restaurant, or you're going to get some Vuori sweatpants that were sponsored, or you're going to get some Roan polos that were sponsored, King's gear, Cuban cigars, whatever
also,
it is.
Friend of the pod, Evan Cassio, got boxing gloves.
He did.
And I had an issue, so I'm at this party, and my dad calls me. So I'm going to go take the call. You know, I just step outside. That's when my name was called. So I walk back in. Everybody's giving me a hard time.
Booing. They're booing him.
Booing me.
Booing.
Because
where is he?
I wasn't in there when my name was called.
Travesty.
But somehow, in between, Evan Cassio got boxing gloves. So I come in, and I'm no good at chugging beer. So I'm trying to chug
a
beer.
That was a really bad performance.
I'm getting booed, and I'm getting punched in the back by Evan Cassio with boxing gloves.
You deserve it.
I know, but I was taking a call from my dad.
Yeah,
it was a tough one.
You know what?
I should have silenced it. You're right.
So the raffle chug is like when you get your name called out, you got to come up and chug a beer. And then once you're done chugging the beer, you get your raffle item. Okay.
Right.
So our grand sponsor, our grand prize this year was a $500 bottle of tequila from Codigo. And below that was the $250 Cool Cabana. So those are some pretty awesome prizes. But when Chris Parrish came up there, he gave a display of a chugging beer that like... Literally, it felt like a year just went by. It was just deplorable.
I didn't even do it.
It was so bad. And the guy's
6'3". Nobody can drink beer faster than me, but I can't chug.
I mean, it's just...
Anyway. Makes no sense.
It's one of my many flaws.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah. I mean, so anyway, we do the raffle chug. We're having a great time. And then the hit of the party was Josh Zuckerwise getting 100 cheeseburgers from McDonald's delivered at 9 o'clock at night.
Just a strong move.
200 nuggets.
Yeah.
And I think there was like a dipping contest where like we had every dipping sauce that McDonald's ever made out.
Yeah. It was curated.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the party went to about 2:38 in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's when I'm like, just got to stop playing cornhole, leave. Yeah. Of course, some guys went to the castle. I don't know
as
if
you
ever,
do.
I don't know if they were still alive today.
One of our sponsors.
Not one of
the
our sponsors.
The castle's not one of our sponsors.
But it was an epic night. It was. I mean, there was a cigar alley where everyone was smoking the cigars over there. I mean, it was just a flawless execution.
Nonstop coolers of hams.
Beer. I mean, this year we had so much beer.
We had some Busch Light.
I think there was only about a case or two left out of the 28 cases that were donated.
And it was all the high society stuff like Modelo.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the Busch Light, hams.
Gone.
You know, Bud Light's gone. It was great. You know, a lot of who's who were around Manhattan Beach were there. You know, you have
Friends of the Pod were there. We had Ryan Khalil was there.
You had, you know,
Evan Cassio. Mark Montpaw brought some lemons.
Yeah. You had, you know, Chip Kelly.
Hmm.
You know, you had a lot of the Kings players, Anjay and Greener, two Stanley Cup legends.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was
Tommy
just,
Reed was there.
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Matt, you were missed, you know.
Yeah, I had a wedding I could not miss.
Yes.
Got to miss that wedding next time.
Yes.
People are selfish getting married on Saturdays.
I was like, man.
What was the whole thing up?
Because, like, I want him to experience the dad's night.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to have another dad's night. And I think I'm, you know, we have to probably go somewhere on location next year. Like a bar.
Yeah.
Rent out a
facility. During the thing, Tommy comes up and he makes a speech, and everybody's having a blast, right? And then he starts into like, hey, okay, who wants to volunteer to host this next year? And then everybody starts like walking away, like not making eye contact with Tommy because
that's
nominating
a big
endeavor.
That's
a big ask. A big ask.
Oh, yeah. I'm nominating people, and then all of a sudden they just keep on going, we nominate Tommy Reed! And everyone's like cheering for it again.
Great vote.
Man, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But the night was absolutely epic.
Epic.
Everyone had a great time. We even had Mark Murrell, who owns Get Maine Lobster, fly in, and he brought us out 60 of the Hattie IPAs, which is the best beer in the world.
It's great.
So we were lucky to have that, taste that, and everything. Again, great party. It's a celebration of dads.
Right.
You know, it really is. You get to just, and there's just open conversation, and there's no clickiness. Anyone could talk to anyone, and that's what we loved about that night. A lot of different dads from different paths crossing and just celebrating, being awesome. And so thank you for making it special with your queso.
You're welcome.
It was a great...
It's the very least I could do.
It was a great party. It led right into then, you know, next weekend, which is, you know, this past weekend, which is Father's Day weekend. And
what'd you do for Father's Day?
Went down to the beach and made a picture of Old Fashions.
Nice.
And sat underneath the cabana.
Nice.
And just wanted to be in the shade.
Matt, what did you do for Father's Day?
We were out in La Quinta. We got
family
out there and usually try to do a couple trips every year. But we went out with four or five other families. We all have kind of kids the same age that are all in school together. Dad's golfed on Saturday.
Nice. Which
great.
Course?
We went to Silver Rock.
Okay.
Kind of tucked against the mountains there.
I've gotten a triple bogey there.
Yeah. I'm still seeking a hole-in-one. Did not happen this trip.
No.
And then we just had some pool days and fun barbecuing with all the wifeies, and they showered us with love and affirmation.
That's what you deserve. I love it.
It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
I had Amy's birthday was on Saturday, the same day as our daughters had a 3.5-hour dance recital.
Yeah.
So I got her an electric bike, which was great, but like we had no time to ride it on her birthday Saturday. So Father's Day, we took a bike trip.
Nice.
Down, had some lunch as a family, and it was all right. Now we can go biking together.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So are we big outside of the bubble here?
Yes.
I mean, is the
our third episode on the Believe Network.
That's right.
Thanks to Bron and everybody. This has been fantastic. And as a result, one of the many things that we get is more data than we used to get. We are blowing up.
Blowing up.
This is a fact. And I'm looking at the stats right now. 5%, 5.35% of our traffic is coming from the Kingdom of Spain right now.
Look at that.
5.15% is coming from Germany. But Germany's climbing.
Schneller.
Didn't Faustino say he's big in Germany?
He did.
Yeah. So still, we got 85% of it coming from the U.S., which makes sense. But this is big, Tommy.
It is. It's really exciting.
I'm starting to think about going on location in Spain.
How micro does this data get?
I can tell you.
Can we pinpoint down to after this episode whether Orange County gets a boost in listeners?
You know what? I think I can request that actually.
Yeah, we should.
This could be huge. We could be huge.
I mean,
in Orange
County.
County
versus South Bay. That could be huge.
We're expanding to Spain and Germany and Orange County.
In Orange County.
You either got to get on a plane or take the 405. So. Well, this is big. I want to thank all of our listeners in Spain.
Friends of the pod.
Mucho gusto y
Me llamo Tomás.
Yeah, sí. Me llamo Cristobal. I can't speak German, but also
Second
thank you
Deutsch.
To the Germans, David Hasselhoff, all that stuff. But this is big, and it feels good to be resonating. And I look forward to breaking into the OC. Yes. Maybe we'll go down to South Coast Plaza on location. Now we'll get into a conversation with quarterback Matt Barkley, the modern-day and USC Trojan star who just signed on for his second stint with the Buffalo Bills in the NFL. He was one of my favorite college players to watch, and it was awesome to have him here in the studio. And I can tell you that Tommy and I and the entire Dad's Night podcast team will be Buffalo Bills fans this year, which will be great to root for somebody good because the Cowboys are terrible. Now back to the show.
This is why I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because when you bring up the OC,
yeah,
there is one OC quarterback that just stands out from the rest.
Yep.
And that is our own Matt Barkley, ladies and gentlemen. We have Matt Barkley in the house today. Very, very excited about this. I have to take some pride and digest some things when we'll get to it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But for all of our listeners here today, he was the 2007 Gatorade Player of the Year,
yeah,
where he threw for 3,576 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 9 INTs as a senior in high school. Okay? Ooh. Or is that your senior or junior year?
That was my junior year.
That was your junior year. I mean, like, that's crazy.
We got to get an intern.
Okay? He was the first ever since Todd Marinovich to start at modern day, and you were allowed to call your own place.
Yeah, we got to the point where... Well, I guess they were, you know, they'd come in with, you know, three or four options. So you'd have a run play that could go either side depending on the look. And if you had a certain coverage look or pressure, we could, you know, audible to like a couple different pass plays. And so I guess that's what they considered calling your plays. But, I mean, that's pretty next level. I mean, that's what we're doing in the NFL where you have, you want to get to the right look. You're not just calling one play and hoping it works. You know, they put that on my shoulders and it learned a lot. From being in kind of a pro system in high school, you know, prepared me for SE and my time in the league.
Yeah, and, you know, and speaking of that, you were the first true freshman quarterback ever to start at USC, an opening game. And your freshman year, you then go into Ohio State.
The Horseshoe.
The Horseshoe. Columbus, Ohio. My alma mater. Very excited about this.
Great game.
You had this guy, Pete Carroll, as a head coach. And there's just something that he does. And I'm like, we're finally going to win. We're going to win. They have a freshman quarterback. There's no way this kid's going to beat Ohio State. Underneath the lights, at the shoe.
Yeah.
You come in, and you play hurt, and you lead this fourth quarter, 86-yard winning drive, and you beat Ohio State in Columbus at the Horseshoe. It kills me. But what is
that feeling
like?
Something that Michigan doesn't do very often.
What is that like, going underneath the lights to Horseshoe? You're a freshman.
Beautiful. I think I had the benefit of being oblivious to the magnitude of that game. It was my first road game as a college football player. And
that's
I had grown up going to the Coliseum and watching, you know, the Carson Palmers, the Matt Leinarts, the Reggie Bushes winning national championships, winning Heisman trophies, packing out. You know, 96,000 is comparable, not quite the Horseshoe, but I mean, rocking, absolutely rocking. And so in my mind, like, that's how games should be.
Right.
And so when we rolled up to the Shoe, I didn't even really know what College Game Day was at the time, you know, what that meant. I didn't know that prime time, everyone was seeing it. I was just kind of had my horse blinders on, I guess, and it was so focused on the task at hand. It worked in my benefit, but I still, to this day, it's the loudest environment I've ever been in.
Really?
Like, I know you play music, Chris, and
yeah,
like, you put your head up to an amp and just strum as loud as
I
you can. Like,
yeah,
it was louder than that.
Yeah.
Like, this was the huddle right here, this little circle. You would have to have read my lips to hear the play calls. Even during timeouts, for whatever reason, y'all just kept cheering. Made no sense to me.
I mean, the horseshoes.
Like TV timeouts, the guy's like holding his red, his orange gloves up, and I'm like looking over. I'm like, how? What are you talking about? What are you guys cheering about?
Oh yeah, well,
it was bananas.
Yeah, they're
absolutely
drunk.
Bananas.
They're absolutely.
It's also tall. The horseshoe's tall. Keeps the sound.
It does.
And they're drunk.
Straight down. And everyone's came down right on top of us. It was actually pretty cool that game. There was the Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes.
Yep.
It wasn't really an anthem at that point. This was 2009.
That's right.
And we had sang that song in like training camp that year and like in meetings when Pete Carroll's up there doing dances. We're waiting for guys to roll in. You had Stephon Johnson up there, Ronald Johnson. You had guys, you know, Matt Khalil was in there. And that
Friend
song,
of the pod.
Though, we would sing that song in our, that was like kind of our thing. And it ended up being my song, too, because the marching band, USC marching band, greatest marching band in the history of the universe, they choose a song for their quarterbacks. Like, Sanchez had some, like, mariachi song. John David Booty was booty, 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 rock anywhere. And they marching band would play. It was pretty cool. And they chose, for my song, it was Seven Nation Army.
Wow. Because
that was number seven. So, like, kind of my song in the band.
Over Gnarls Barkley.
Right? Over Crazy, yeah. So, there was a timeout in the fourth quarter. Where there was a pause or something, I think it was before that drive, and it was like a game changing moment when we were down, and they started playing that song, just that bass line, and you heard that
bum,
kick drum,
bum,
and,
bum, bum, bum,
and our
bum,
whole sideline. I don't know if it's on the TV copy or not, but we were going crazy like it was a nightclub, and we were jumping up and down, dancing everywhere, and it fired up our whole sideline. It was incredible. And then we had that drive. You know, Joe McKnight, rest in peace, absolutely dominated. McCoy, tight end, catching balls, that line. I don't know. It was just so surreal looking back because I was a kid. I didn't really know the magnitude of that, but it was just so fun. Like
it was always
fun.
We were saying earlier how there was that period of time, starting with Carson Palmer through you, it was so much fun to watch USC.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just watching that game, just as a Michigan fan, so that was like second year of Rich Rod. rest in peace. It just seemed unfathomable as a Michigan fan to go into the horseshoe and win a game like that, or like even it was just crazy to watch that game.
It's storybook for USC. I mean, and then now we know. We played the wrong freaking song. The fires up. Matt Barkley. It's his song. He's like, dude, they're playing my song from. And then look.
Lit the fire.
He has a left tackle. Was it Tyrone Smith?
So Matt Khalil, actually, Matt wasn't. I don't know if Matt was playing that year. Charles Brown was my left tackle, I believe. Tyron Smith was my right.
And how big is he? 6'9"?
Yeah, he was 285 with a six pack and like. 6% body fat.
Yeah,
he's a 10-time Pro Bowler.
The Cowboys have wasted his career. It's been fun to watch. I'm a Cowboys fan.
He helped some of those Zeke years when they were dominating. Yep. But yeah. I mean,
one of our best.
Yeah, we had a lot of talent.
Did it? I mean, being at USC, did it help? So, Mater Dei is a big school. It's taken me a while to understand this because, like, in Michigan, there's like none of that. Where like everybody goes to this school that's for football, right? I mean, like Chris Webber played basketball at Country Day, but like. You're in Newport, and where does the decision come for you to start going to Santa Ana every day for football? Just because you were so good, and this is where you go?
Well, so I actually went to one of their football camps in seventh grade because my cousin, who's a year older than me, was thinking about going there.
Okay.
And my cousin was my number one receiver.
Okay.
In like youth football. And so he decided to go there when I was in eighth grade, and so I went to the camp again the next year. And at the time, the public school I would have gone to, Corona del Mar, did not have that great of a football program. Since then, they've won like a ton of championships. It's kind of impressive how they've rebounded. But at the time, it wasn't the best option. And I knew I wanted to play football, and there was a chance to compete for the job. And it opened up when I committed that, it was just me and two guys pretty much. So won the job. But it was a 10-15 minute commute. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
It was actually cool just meeting kids from all over the county.
Yeah.
you know, and having guys over at our house. And in the summer times, our house was kind of like the hub because you'd go in for morning workouts and you'd have this break when there was what's called passing league. I don't even know if they have it anymore. All these kids are doing like these seven on leagues or it's like AAU basketball or something. But we'd have to come back to campus to do passing league in the afternoon. So everyone would converge on our house because, you know, they want to go home because it was almost too far for some kids. And we had a pool. We would play like King of the Raft. We'd go out and play like Madden in the pool house or nice. Just blast the AC and watch Gladiator or something just to get off your feet.
Right.
But I mean, going to school, you know, in St. Anna it was close and it was the best decision by far, you know, for me.
It's crazy. Like, my friend up the street, her son's going to go to Modern Day next year.
Oh, from up here.
Yeah. I think it may be Cole, maybe play quarterback.
Cool, yeah.
And basketball, but just the ins and outs and the logistics of getting him down there and then just like how competitive. I mean, he's a great kid, but like it's like a junior football factory basically. Like all
it's
these
nuts.
Kids. I mean, you go look at the list of three Heisman Trophy winners and it's, you know, Jennifer Warnes who's saying the theme from Dirty Dancing also went there, but just a crazy sports football factory. Like,
well, and basketball for someone like Cole, you know, they've won just about, if not more, national championships for basketball.
Nuts.
And wow. Win state almost every other year or something like that.
So it's like the IMG Academy for Florida
right.
is what modern day
yeah,
is
they
for
beat IMG. Yeah.
For Southern California.
Southern California. Modern Day, St. John Bosco up in Bellflower, Loyola up here in L.A. used to be one of the top schools. But that league, which is predominantly Catholic schools, Servite is one of the top schools in Anaheim in the country. I mean, at one point, it was either last year or 2 years ago, St. John Bosco, Modern Day, and Servite were in the top five in the country. All in the same league. They're playing each other.
Wow.
And it's just the coaching, the talent, the kids. Like in my NFL locker rooms, I always get in arguments with kids whether like Florida football or Texas football is better, Pennsylvania football even.
Sure.
But I mean, just from my experience, it's hard to
say that.
It's hard to avoid Southern California football. Like these kids are on another level. Especially now.
Do you think that Lincoln Riley is going to rejuvenate the program like how Pete Carroll did?
Big time. He already has. You're going to be going to SC games. Watch.
Caleb Williams
it's
coming.
It's the hot ticket.
If you can
it
get
is.
Me on the field, like Chip does.
Chip got us on the field, friend of the pod. That's the only place
friend
we're going to go
Chip
now.
Kelly.
I'm not going to sit in a seat like some sort of plea.
No. We
got to be
like,
on the field.
When we went to the LSU-UCLA game, he spoiled us.
Yeah.
And he's given us.
We're ruined now.
Yeah. Now we go back to the Kelly ball in 2024 when UCLA goes and plays Brian Kelly at LSU. He promised us LSU.
Kelly ball.
Yep. Sidelines again. So.
Brian, do you think Brian Kelly will still be there in 2024?
If he keeps that Southern accent.
Yeah, just.
you definitely lived up to the 2007 Gatorade Player of the Year. I mean, everything you did, everyone knew that you were going to be this awesome freshman phenom, and you were. You were a Heisman finalist, and then you get drafted to the NFL. I think, did Chip Kelly draft you?
Yeah.
So Chip
Eagles.
Kelly drafted you. The 98th
I loved
pick.
You in college. I mean, I love you now. And then you go to the Eagles. I was pissed.
See, that was one. It's so interesting. You have no choice.
Right.
Right. Really, of course.
Of where you go. You know, you choose where you go to high school. You get recruited to go to wherever you want in college. You get to pick. And then you're just treated like a piece of meat in the combine and the pre-draft process, especially with me, because I tore up my shoulder my senior year in the second to last game. And so
you missed the Sun Bowl, right?
Missed the Sun Bowl. Yeah. Missed the Senior Bowl. Missed the combine. I couldn't throw at the combine. And you're just, treated
did that hurt your draft stock immensely?
I think so. Yeah, because even look, I came across some tape of my pro day. So I was able to throw at my pro day, which was, I guess, closest to the draft of any of those, like, opportunities.
Right.
And it was, it was so bad. It was atrocious.
Really?
Like, I was like, I don't know why anyone even drafted me. Probably should have gone undrafted.
Was it just because your arm was still not right?
Or? It wasn't healthy. Yeah. I was like a gimp, like just kind of chucking hand grenades out there. But luckily, you know, I'd played against Chip at Oregon. I had some good games against Oregon.
And so he saw that and had seen, you know, me play for the last 4 years in college. So luckily that kind of spoke for itself. But yeah, probably the last offense I thought of myself playing in. But I learned a lot during
that
those
was his
years.
That was his first year, right?
Yeah.
2013. 2013, yep. Vic, Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very hard locker room to get, but you're still rehabbing yourself, so it's actually good for you to watch and learn from those guys. What did you learn from Michael Vick? I mean, like, I love Mike. Yeah, I mean, like, everyone loves him, and, like, we all remember him playing him in Madden. It was like a dream, right?
He's a creative player, but just the way he was. Even on the field, like, he would barely even warm up, walk out, and just that silky lefty motion, man. Just sling balls 40 yards on a rope. Like, it was nothing. He was incredible. Great guy to be around. Great locker room guy. Always did the right thing. It was just fun to be around guys because I never had an older quarterback to really look up to. Because after starting as a freshman at Mater Dei, there was the guys in front of me were solid, but they didn't really like want to help me.
Of course not.
You know, and then the same at SC, Mitch Mustain and Aaron Korp were kind of the older guys, and they were
Arkansas Mitch Mustain.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Good teammates, but there wasn't like a mentor aspect to that, right? And so to be in the same room as Mike, and then, you know, more in the same, I guess, age group as Nick Foles, but still learned a lot from him. Still a close friend to this day. Just really good dudes. And so to be in that position where I could learn from a different perspective was a good opportunity.
And now you are back with Buffalo. What's it like playing with Josh Allen?
He's the best.
Yeah, I mean, like, it seems like you guys are really good friends.
He's like a little, I don't know if it's a little brother or like a son. I'm trying to decipher, or if I'm like an uncle to him. But he is a man child.
He's huge, right?
Unbelievably gifted. Yeah, he's a big boy and can move like he's a skilled player.
And it was crazy like coming out of college. It was going to be he's just not accurate. He's like a 52% passer or something, but it's just gone up and up and up.
Yeah,
after year.
You can get
that's
better,
what you're hoping for,
right, guys? Yeah. Surprisingly,
yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah,
you can work on things and get better, and that's what he's done. And because even since that rookie year when I first signed with the Bills, he was just firing the balls and some were sailing high, and he's really worked on that and toned things down and gotten more consistent with his mechanics. And so it's awesome that we're back. I mean, when I told my wife we were going back in free agency this last spring, she started crying. She was so happy.
Just really?
Because that community is so unique, especially in the league. It's like the closest to a small college town that you'd find.
It's one of the best fan bases, for sure.
It's the best fan base by far. Just how much they love them. Love all the players, love just the team and everything about it. But we got to know that team and like the players and the coaches even, and the coaches' wives. My wife would meet with everyone. It was just the most, I don't know, incredible atmosphere. And so to be back there and to continue those relationships, and you know, we have pretty good team put together so far.
Yeah.
With,
I think you're the team to beat in the AFC.
It's looking
really
good.
Do.
Just got to put the pieces together and make it happen. But
you guys got your running back with Cook this year, and you got some other weapons in there.
Good.
And
Diggs
you got
just
some
signed,
defense
right?
going in there.
Diggs is here.
Diggs signed an extension. Yeah, that's a sick team.
I mean, if
stay healthy. We got to stay healthy.
Yep, stay healthy. And, well, I remember you saying when we were playing cornhole and bottle bash down on the beach, and which I almost broke my finger because you throw the frisbee so hard.
Yeah.
What is that
game? That Kotsman loves that game. It's
bottle bash.
Yeah.
And so you basically said that, like, the Bills, like, the community of not only the Bills Mafia fan base, but, like, the actual team itself has built itself into this. You know, they've really put themselves around Josh and really have this community feel. That's kind of like living in Orange County and Manhattan Beach, where, like, you have this community feel. I think that adds to the camaraderie of the team personality, and I think you guys are going to do some really good things this year, man. I wish you all the best. That's very exciting.
I mean, what's it like? Let me just – so you move the whole family out there. You got three kids, two boys and a girl.
Yep.
So they're going to come out with you.
Yep.
The kids probably just think it's cool, like that weather. Like, I grew up in Detroit. Like,
yeah.
You really?
Don't notice
you think it's cool, like going from Flip Flop City and, like, you know,
they don't know. They're kids.
Snow?
They'll spend hours. We say just get out of the house. They have so much energy as it is. We'd say, go get your snow clothes on and just run around.
Yeah.
And they would just
We would come in at lunch and we would have to change all our stuff because it's soaked through. But I always say, like, I love the weather in Southern California. I never want to live anywhere else. But, like, there's nothing that can replace. We used to get up and you watched. We just had a storm and you're watching the local news to see if your school district was shut down. That was a free day off day. Was the best. You could never beat a snow day.
Yep.
So
they love it. But, yeah, to your, I guess, original question. Yeah, we all move out. Wherever I've played in the fall, we all move out together. And now, my older boys are 7 and 6. So now they're in school, and it's a different challenge to navigate because they'll be doing probably half and half.
Okay.
Half school down in Newport, and then, half in Buffalo. So they've lived in 7, 8 cities already. They know how to make friends. Any room they go into, they'll make friends.
Yeah.
Which is one of the benefits
Your boys are definitely social, and they love to just, anyone who's playing a sport, they're going to go right over to them.
Oh, yeah.
Can I play? It was great.
They're unashamed.
It's like, oh, they're great kids.
Yeah. Just because we like staying together. Because even this spring, I was flying back and forth between Buffalo because, again, they're in school for the spring. And my wife is superwoman, just holding everything down while I'm gone during the week. But even that it was brutal. Just missing baseball practices during the week or different functions at school or whatever it is. And so we like to be together as much as we can.
Yeah.
And so, we'll all go out for the fall.
Yeah. We got a decent amount of friends, who travel as part of the gig, actors or sports or whatever. And my wife and kids are leaving to go to Minnesota next week, and I'm gonna have 5 days by myself. And the first day, I'll be like, "Oh man, I'm gonna watch whatever the hell I want and not do any dishes." And then day three, you don't know what the hell to do with yourself.
Yeah, and then it sets
you're
in.
You're just missing them, and then they FaceTime you, and it doesn't seem like they're missing me enough. And then it's about me, and then I'm sad. What are we gonna do when they move away?
That's true.
I'm probably just gonna move to Ann Arbor and just watch them go to college.
Please don't do that to yourself. Yeah. That's just pure misery right there. Let's get into that. You have 3 kids, 2 boys that are 7 and 6, and a beautiful daughter that is 3. What do you do for dinner time? Do you do a lot of the cooking? Does your wife do a lot of cooking? Do you split it up? Do you grill?
Yeah, we'll split it up. If it involves meat in any way, that's my job. And so
nice.
I'll do one of my boys' favorite meal is steak. They love it. It's just straight up on a grill, a reverse seared even, or put it out on the Traeger to get a little smokiness. That's go to. My wife is more of the recipes. I hate following a recipe book because I'm too type A and it needs to be perfect.
Right.
I would be a good baker. Just proportions are right. Here we go. But to just throw something together and mix. No, that's not me. Let me grill something up. I'll put some asparagus up there, or put some veggies on the deal, and keep it simple. We split it up, even amount, I'd say.
So you got a normal grill, and then you got a Traeger.
Got a normal barbecue, gas barbecue, and a Traeger.
What do you like to smoke on that?
I'm trying. I have not perfected brisket. That's
hard.
That is a goal.
You got to ruin a lot of briskets, too.
You do, unfortunately.
and it gets you upset, and then you don't want to do it.
Randy's brisket almost pisses me off, our buddy, because it's so good.
Yeah. It's a labor of love, just with the wrapping and the spraying and the overnight. Yeah. So that's a work in progress. Picanha is one of my favorite cuts.
Yeah, very good.
I don't do it on the skewers. If you're going to Fogo de Chao or something.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I still think it's just, you just need salt. That's it.
And
it's,
absolutely.
That's enough
salt
flavor.
Boom.
But ribeyes are hard to beat.
God,
ribs.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
I just had fish tacos on jicama tortillas that my wife made lovingly. Jicama. Very healthy. Jicama's a root vegetable? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of get thin and it just replaces a tortilla.
So it's actually taking
away Gwyneth Paltrow recipe?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Look that up.
Yeah, yeah.
I love my wife. It's good.
I'm sure your wife knows about it because women love jicama now.
Yeah, it's the thing.
Jicama tortillas, but it's not any bread or anything in it. It's just It's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable that you use a mandolin and you shave it like this, and then you get like a tortilla shape, but it's a vegetable. It's like high fiber, low carb. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Wait, that real dad bod.
Yeah. I'm working on it. Less
living
beer.
Living in Orange County, there's some great restaurants down there. Where do you like to go on your date nights with your wife when it's just you two? If you have to go out to eat down there.
A restaurant. It's called A Restaurant. It's a Newport staple. It's one of my favorites. She loves going down to, I don't know if you guys have been down to Lido.
Yep.
Since they've redone it.
Love
it's incredible. Whether it's Malibu Farms down there.
Great.
Nobu, she likes, unfortunately, which is tremendous.
They all like that.
They all like it. A few spots on 17th Street down there in Costa Mesa we love. Country Club is a fun spot. Stays open a little later. And then Mastro's, I'd say, down like Crystal Cove area. Yep.
Get the seafood tower.
Steak. Yeah, seafood tower. Good steak. Those are probably some of the tops, I'd say.
Nice.
And your wife's from Orange County.
She is. Yeah, we grew up together.
Oh, wow.
We met when we were 5.
That's crazy.
How about that? Yeah. So I'm married to my best friend, which is cool.
That's great news.
That's awesome. That's the way, those are the best marriages when you marry your best friend.
Yeah.
I did marry my best friend. You're right.
It's the best.
My brother would like to know how accurate was the show, The OC?
So The OC was probably peak when I was just a bit too young to watch it.
This is like 2003.
Yeah, I was like 10 years old.
And you didn't,
I wasn't
like
watching
dudes from Chino coming in,
My mom wasn't really letting me watch all the drama of all that. But Polo, I think looking back, like, I think the locations, I mean, it was shot down here. So that was on point. I think, I mean, all the drama and all the gossip, that's probably a bit dramatized. Even like Real Housewives of Orange County, that's like, do you think that's real of how everyone is? No.
They're whacking the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
You know?
They get them sauced up and, you know,
like
give
Manhattan
them
Beach isn't
talk about,
just everybody driving golf carts, eating jicama, and then going to play pickleball. There's other stuff that happens, but if you're doing a show, that's what we
But like, but this show highlights everything that's going on in the South Bay. So.
Let me try. With two boys that are basically Irish twins, how do you handle discipline?
14 months apart. We didn't really know what we were doing to start. discipline? We were strict early on, and I think it paid off because now, I mean, my boys come when called. I'll say their name once. They look my way, and if I give them, you know, a finger, come here, or give them a look, they know what that look means, which is cool as a parent, you know, as a dad to see that level of respect from them to me. But I mean, they know that at the same time, I love them with everything inside of me, and I'd do anything for them. I mean, tell them that constantly. And so I think that goes hand in hand with, you know, when I say something to them, there's meaning behind it, and they know that I have the best in mind for them, whether it's protection for them or it's advice on how to throw a football or a baseball or, you know, how to treat their sister. It's coming from a place of love, and sometimes it's a strict love. Sometimes it's go learn from yourself what it's like to fall out of a tree or whatever, you know, and you'll pick yourself up. And so, you know, you let them. I'm not a helicopter dad. I don't think that's good at all. Or when you're always saying no. But I think there are, you know, kids crave boundaries to a certain extent. And when they know that, you know, you have their best intentions in mind, then they learn to respect that and love you for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are your happiest moments as a dad?
So, well, this is unbelievable. This is actually a pretty cool story. So when John was born, my firstborn, I'm adopted. And so I don't know if you knew that. So I'm adopted. So when John was born, he was the first blood related person I'd ever met in my entire life.
Holy cow.
And when he came out and I held him for the first time, it hit me like a Mack truck. Just like first of all, like the level of love a father has is already like to the nth degree, and then add that on top of it, and it was it just blew my mind.
Oh
like,
my god,
this is like a creation, you know, that we somehow this happened,
right.
And but the fact that it was like, dude, you're the first person that is a blood related relative, or like a, the first blood relation person I've ever met in my entire life. Blew my mind.
Holy shit.
So that was incredible as a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, all their births. I mean, childbirth is insane.
It is crazy.
It's like the what the wives go through, it's beyond. They're superheroes. But this like the whole act is just it's a miracle. I don't know.
It truly is a miracle. It's like they have this alien and growing inside their belly.
It's insane. Yeah. I was a couple weeks ago I just had to have a standard like annual checkup procedure or whatever, and I can't get any sympathy in the house. I had to get an IV. My wife had two C-sections. She doesn't need any of this
suck
shit.
It up. Yeah.
Mean, you know what I mean? I was like watching that shit go.
Chris,
you
had a colonoscopy.
Shit.
Okay.
By the way, it wasn't even a doctor. But anyway, it's amazing what they go through and all the things that kind of have, even though this has been happening for billions of years, right. All the things that have to go right for this to happen. And then it happens and they just do it because that's what they're the only ones who can. You're just in awe of it. It's just, you're right. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
What lessons did you take from your parents that you apply to parenting today?
Love my parents. They were great parents to me. Probably a little more strict on us even than I am with my kids. And I love them for it. I mean, they created work ethic in me. You know, my dad went to USC as well, and he was a two-time All-American water polo player. So he didn't play football, but he knew what it took to be great in your sport. And a long-distance swimmer, too. So he put in hours.
Wow.
Like hours and hours and hours in the pool. So knew what it takes to be great and taught me and my brother and my sister just a lot about that aspect, whether it's, you know, down to the littlest things of keeping the garage clean or making your bed every morning, just things that, you know, compound.
Right.
To where if you're doing the right things, then everything else will kind of level out. But I think my mom taught me a really valuable lesson that she just emphasized over and over and over again. Both of them did, but she would always say, she would talk about this concept of delayed gratification. Mainly, it kind of started when I was in high school, I'd say. You know, when I was starting on varsity as a freshman, and you know, there would be like a midweek party or there'd be something going on, and she would just kind of remind me that of what my goals were and what I was looking forward to and what I was trying to accomplish, and that if I neglected that or put it to the side, then I wouldn't be able to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And you know, the concept of putting in the work, putting in the time, whether it was school and finishing homework or writing a paper or, you know, doing anything I needed to for football or just kind of, you know, just doing the right thing, whatever that means. And being able to enjoy the benefits of that after the fact,
later.
You know, because as a high schooler, you're not really aware of like kind of the long-term benefits of what you're doing right now. And so she kind of brought that, you know, to the forefront and helped me in a lot of ways to kind of see that big picture and what was worth it in the moment. Which I think helped set me up in college, even when there was always something to do, right? And just realizing that, you know, these guys are partying midweek or there's something to do. Not that I, you know, didn't have fun with friends, but like my time to party was under the lights, you know,
right.
On the field.
Right.
And that, I think, helped over the years in a lot of different ways.
Well, even the delayed gratification today, you're still enjoying a kid's game career. You're still enjoying professional.
I'm living my dreams as
exactly.
I had as a kid. Yeah.
So like even when that's done, then you have a whole nother level of gratification that you're going to have.
No question.
So that is tremendous parenting advice.
Yeah.
And like, I applaud your mom for doing that because the way to have it, it's not going to sink into every kid. And for you to absorb that and put it into your heart, your family's getting the benefit of it forever. And that's just going to be a great thing.
Yeah. I'm forever grateful for that. And, you know, at the time when I was in high school or even younger, maybe, you know, you get mad at your parents, and then, you know, as a parent, you probably feel bad for like hurting your kids' feelings.
Right.
Or you want them to have fun, and so you kind of let loose in certain areas. And there's a time and a place for, you know, for all that quote unquote fun stuff and to do the right thing. But in my shoes, at least, she saw, and my dad, they saw what the potential could be, at least in my football career or, you know, academics. They knew, you know, what was best for me when I didn't, and they were pushing me towards that. And so I think as a parent now, there is a fine line between, you know, letting your kid have fun and do what they want and then also pushing them towards what they're great at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to be intentional and know your child to know what they're great at or what their strengths are and what, you know, you could see them doing. But I think it's important not for parents not to, you know, say, oh, he doesn't want to go today. Like, oh, okay, like, we'll stay home. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a time for that if they're, you know, you're exhausted over a weekend trip or whatever. But, like, if it's just because, like, right. No, like, you're going. Like, you're doing this. You're pushing through. You're going to learn from this right here, and you're going to get better. And
I mean, my 7-year-old, he's very – when I was a kid, I was super socially awkward. I was just afraid of people. And he's the same way.
Yeah.
He wants to know what's happening. He doesn't want to be left alone. And so he had surf camp last week, and he didn't want to go. He didn't even know what it was. He just didn't want to go. So I went I was like, dude, we're going. You're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Sat there. As soon as he showed up, he saw his friends. Off into the ocean.
There you go.
I'll see you in 3 hours. And then this weekend, he was just like diving under waves, like all this stuff that he had learned. And you just got to just say, no, like, I know what's best for you, and we're doing this, and you're going to love it. And you're going to be fine. Like, you're going to be safe. I'll be there. I love you. So,
did your parents have a big influence in you? Because after your junior year at USC, I think Todd McShay and Mel Kiper had you as the number one quarterback going into that next year, or you could have gone into the draft. And you went back and played your senior year. Did your parents have an influence to, like, hey, go get your education, finish it out, or?
No, they didn't sway me either way, but they helped me process both sides of that equation, or both sides of the coin, you know, whether to stay or leave. And it ultimately, that decision really came down to the fact that we were no longer under NC2A probation and we could finally play postseason. Like, that was one of the probably biggest reasons why I decided to come back. I mean, we had just beaten Oregon up in Autzen, upset them. We beat UCLA 50-0 to end the year. Even that year, I think we would have won the Rose Bowl in 2011, just the way we were playing. You know, Robert Woods was rolling, Marquise Lee. We had a ton of talent, TJ McDonald, and all of that combined, and the fact that, oh, we can actually, you know, play postseason now. And we have more scholarships back after that year. That was more so a reason. But they didn't sway me. Even when I committed to SC, they weren't. My dad wasn't, you know, for all he could have tried to sway me to go to SC, he didn't push me at all. I mean, it was clearly the best decision, you know, with Pete Carroll being there and the success and the way I could just walk in. But he didn't. No, he wanted what was best for me, not what he wanted, which I'm grateful for. Yeah.
Do you have any traditions that you were raised with that you're trying to add on to your family?
I mean, we always try to do big family gatherings. I don't know if that's...
Well, you have a great family.
I mean, yeah, and awesome. It's kind of always fluid based on, you know, what time of life you're in, who can make it, and what brothers and sisters are in town, what city I'm playing in. Whether Christmas is available or Thanksgiving is available, right. You know, my wife's side of the family. But we do always try to celebrate, like, big moments. And whether that's a holiday or, you know, someone's birthday, even making, like, a graduation. Like, when Sam, my brother, graduated from Fire Academy, like, we all went up to Boise to, like, honor that. So, I don't know. That just pops in my head. I don't know if that's a tradition or not.
Well, that's family value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's at a core level. Yeah, absolutely. Are you guys playing on Thanksgiving this year, too, the Bills?
We are.
Yeah. So
ooh. Yeah, we play in, I think we play in Detroit.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll look this up.
I think so.
Huh. For some reason, I thought.
Yeah, we open up on my birthday, actually, in SoFi. Against the Rams, Thursday Night Football.
That's your birthday, too?
That's the first game of the year.
Do you need some podcasters there?
So that's going to be a big hot ticket for
ticket.
All your buddies are going to be there. Your family's going to be there.
Regardless of me, I mean, yeah. Bills and Rams, exactly. Super Bowl. That's
the opening game, Thursday, Rams,
opening
Bills.
Opening wow. Thursday night game. And then
that's going to be huge.
We have a ton of primetime games, not surprising.
You got the Lions, 9:30 in the morning. That's our time.
That's on Thanksgiving?
That's Thanksgiving.
There you go.
In Detroit.
But the Bills play 9:30 in the morning?
Our time.
Right. But
in Detroit.
The Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Thanksgiving, you got Packers on Sunday night. Packers are coming to visit. That's the Rams game.
Yep.
This is a crazy schedule.
Yeah, there was another.
You got Bengals, Monday Night Football.
There you go. Yeah.
That's going to be huge.
Bedtimes and routines. I mean, like, you're in the, I know that.
My favorite times.
Yep, go ahead.
Because, you know, I often leave before the kids wake up in the morning, and then I come home kind of right at that time usually, at least in season. And I love those times. We'll wrestle, we'll read books, we'll tell stories. Even Bella, my daughter, hops in on the wrestling now, and she loves being a part
dropping
of
elbow.
It. Oh yeah,
I'm sure she's the king.
I don't
queen.
Know how the name started, but I do this thing called Daddy Donkey where I just get on all fours and I like just kind of march.
Oh yeah,
making donkey sounds in a circle, and the boys get 2 laps to try to bring me down.
Oh no way!
And
together?
If they do, yeah, they can work together. And if they do, then they get, if they haven't had dessert, they get dessert or they get something a little extra that night.
How often do they take you down?
They never have.
Ah, they love trying.
I give them every opportunity, but it has not happened yet. So
let's hear the donkey sound. Let's hear it.
YouTube a donkey sound. That's what it sounds
like. Come
on,
let's hear it.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, there it is.
Just like that.
That is awesome.
But they try to take me down. But it's a good lesson in teamwork too, because one can't do it by himself. So
yep.
Try to tell him go for one goes for one arm, the other for the other arm. Yep. But
oh my God,
dad's still
life.
Too strong.
It's like in Star Wars, the AT-AT, or they call it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's off. Yeah, she kind of she'll be in there sometimes hanging, or she just wants a little break. She'll
yeah.
Be like,
yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Get
go
out of here.
Go do your donkey thing for a little bit.
That's awesome. Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
What is it with kids? They just want to hurt their dad. Like, they just get a kick out of it. Like,
because he's a superhero.
Yeah.
That every dad is a superhero at that age.
They think I'm stronger than Hulk. I'm better than Iron Man. And I'm going to keep that narrative as long
keep
as
it
I
going.
Can.
Exactly. Final question that I have. And Chris, if you have anything, please go ahead. What does being a dad mean to you?
Dude, you're teaching life to people, to little people who don't know anything. Like, it's the ultimate. Well, I've always taken the approach as a quarterback that the best way to learn is to teach.
Yeah.
Like, if you start teaching, like, a younger player the offense, just naturally by regurgitating information that you already know, you're reinforcing that to yourself. So, applying that to children, like, I'm learning through almost all of this, and it's one of the best ways to hold yourself accountable, too, because kids see right through.
Big time.
Everything. They watch everything you do. They listen. Like, my boy will recollect something I said like 2 weeks ago. He's like, well, you said this about a certain situation. Ugh. I'm like, all right. You're right. I'll hold you to it. And it holds you accountable. And so I think, you know, being a father it's incredible. It holds you accountable. It allows you to instill, you know, that next generation. But it's just an opportunity to love on someone in just a completely different way, because, you know, the love you have for your wife is, you know, one form of love, but then just that kind of like agape love where it's unconditional and like you jump in front of a bullet for them.
Absolutely.
It's just something you can't really experience. You can maybe manufacture it, I guess, in a friendship. Like a deep, deep friendship, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. You're not prepared for it.
No.
And then you wonder, what the hell was I ever worried about before this?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, when you're 30 and it's like, oh, it's Saturday and oh, I got to go to brunch. We can't get a reservation. It's like, you don't have any problems whatsoever, you know?
No.
And yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
It's beautiful.
It's crazy.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I see you getting, you know, very emotional with that. And it Matt, to get to know you is an honor, and to now watch you blossom as a dad is even better. And I think that you know, we wish you nothing but the best in the rest of your football career, and obviously the most success as a continuing dad, you know, of three. And are you done?
Done.
Oh. He's got three. He had his baby girl, and that he's done.
Yeah. Cut off. Done.
Daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Daddy's girl, and done. Well, it was awesome.
Well, thank you guys. That was
no, great. Thank you, man. Chris? This is great. No, I just think I've always been a massive fan. I love the Bills. I love cold weather cities. I'm going to be rooting for you like crazy.
There you go.
Yeah. It's been an honor. It's been fantastic.
Love it, boys.
Yeah, well, listen, everyone, thanks for taking time to listen to Dad's Night Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network. Please like and share with a friend or two that you think would enjoy this ridiculous banter, because after all, Dad's Night is where ridiculous becomes
reality.
Thanks,
Tommy,
everybody.
Tommy, do we have an Instagram handle?
Wait, hold on. Yeah, we have to plug also, you have a lot of sponsors for you, so let's start plugging your sponsors.
All my plugs. Here you go for the next 10 minutes. No. I mean, my Instagram, yeah, Matt Barkley. It's pretty simple.
Got it.
Okay, and you can find us at Dad's Night Podcast on Instagram. Please like and tell a friend or two to like us.
You can email us at dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com.
That's it.
I think those are all of them. Do you have anything else to plug? You got any other products?
I mean, I love this setup for this podcast. I've run one myself called Making Bread. It's more of an investing NFT crypto
nice
podcast that I kind of just do on the side.
Are you doing that with Leinart?
He was on the most
recent
episode.
He was on last week. I just saw him put it on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Because he just started an NFT company. Okay. Kind of dealing with NIL stuff, but that's just kind of like a side deal I do.
Making bread. Okay.
Nice. Let's follow that, everyone.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And is that on Apple Podcasts?
It's everywhere.
Okay. So same thing.
Wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yep. Spotify, Apple, Google. Just go in there, Making Bread with Matt Barkley. That's awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.